Our reading of the Pentecost story from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In this passage, the anticipated Holy Spirit comes. Babel is reversed. The disciples find their courage and their voices, and the gospel moves out from beyond locked doors. Let us listen together for God's word. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at the sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. "In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will now show portents in the heaven above and sign on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke and mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God bless this reading and hearing.
Did you see how Nat caught all those really hard names, and he did such a great job? Not easy. Thank you, Nat. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. So then Peter stood up with the 11. It was a big act. In a big moment, though, up until a few minutes earlier, Peter had been unwilling and unable to do. Up until that point, he had repeatedly misunderstood who Jesus was. Until then, he had repeatedly misunderstood the significance of Jesus. Until then, and especially when times got tough, Peter denied he never knew Jesus and chose to lock himself behind closed doors because he was afraid. The bottom line is, and not to be too hard on old Peter, because after all, he was asked to believe the unbelievable, follow the unfollowable, and do the unthinkable. But Peter, up until that point, the bottom line is that he just didn't have what he needed to do what God needed him to do and what the world needed him to do. And so Peter locked himself behind closed doors, afraid, until the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is such a funny word. It's a Greek word that means 50th. And it refers to a Jewish springtime harvest festival that's 50 days after Passover. It's also called Shavuot or Shavuos, at the Festival of Weeks, because it is a week of weeks. 7 weeks times 7 days plus one Sabbath is 50 days. So it was 50 days after Passover, and 50 days, as it happened, since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Peter and the other followers had locked themselves in a room in Jerusalem waiting for what they didn't know, waiting for the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised them would come, whatever that means. But the Spirit did come on that first Pentecost. The Ruach, the Pneuma, God's creative breath, the Holy Spirit came and filled everyone in that room. And God's fire came too, and can you imagine what that must have felt like and looked like and sounded like, and what that experience must have been like for those fraidy cats in that room? But whatever it sounded like and felt like, and whatever that experience was like, it moved those fraidy cat followers out of that locked room and into the streets of Jerusalem, where things got even weirder. We're told that the Holy Spirit coming allowed the people to understand one another, even though they spoke different languages, right? It was incredible. It was a reversal of the confused language of the Tower of Babel story that Nat read for us at the beginning, and that's why we read it. Because here on the day of Pentecost, this moment allowed the people to transcend race and culture and gender and language and come together as one people. So it was in that moment where Peter finally had everything that he needed. He had God in Christ. He had God's breath breathed into him for guidance and for comfort and for energy. He had his ecclesia, his community that would go on to become known as Christ's church. And Peter also had the courage he needed to say yes to God's call in his life. He had everything he needed, and so he stood up not alone, but with the 11. And he dared to raise his voice, and he dared to address the crowds, and he dared to speak Christ's love into the world that then, like now, really doesn't want to hear it. Now, I don't know about you, but hearing this story, I feel a lot like Peter. And not the new spirit-infused Peter so much as I feel like the old Peter. Right? The Peter who spent a lot of time with Jesus but still didn't understand him. The Peter who struggled with his spirituality. Remember at Gethsemane on the night when Jesus was arrested, that he was sitting there trying to pray, but he fell asleep? Circle of prayer at 6:10? I don't think so. I feel like the Peter who, when times get tough, pretend that I don't know who Jesus is. Never met him. I feel like the Peter who oftentimes locks myself behind closed doors out of fear. So I feel like that Peter, and maybe you do too. Life is hard. It's risky and dangerous. We've got bills to pay and work to do and mouths to feed and bodies to take care of. We've got all of this stuff going on in our lives, and we don't always have the connection, the spiritual depth, the trust, the hope, the resources. We don't always have what we need to do what God is calling us to do, which is to proclaim love and to be the church in the world. And so the hard news to say and probably to hear is that much of us, much of the time, are not like the new Peter, but we're like the old Peter. I'm not much into guilt, though, right? So I want to move us from that place, that real place, I think. And to look in this story about how Peter is the old Peter, but then he becomes the new Peter. Right, there's movement, there's transformation in this story. How does that happen? How does Peter move from the fraidy cat Peter to the standing up with the 11 in the public square kind of Peter? How does that happen? He doesn't enroll in a certificate program. He doesn't go and pray in a cave for 3 years. He doesn't crunch the numbers in a cost-benefit analysis. But the thing that moves Peter from the old Peter to the new Peter is Pentecost. It's a grand convergence of all the stuff that Peter needed to be the church, right? Because at Pentecost, Peter had God in Christ. Peter had the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. He had his growing and developing community, his ecclesia, his church, and somehow, some way, he found the courage to say yes to God's call in his life. All of that stuff came together, and when that came together in Peter, it's not like all of a sudden his life had a reset. It's not like all of a sudden he had fewer demands and more money and a different kind of body. It's not like the world became easier and more manageable. All of that stuff stayed exactly the same. But what changed is, at Pentecost, those items I mentioned, they converged to allow Peter to handle his life and handle the world and to do all of those things and to take the next step, that hard step of standing up with the 11 in his particular circumstance and proclaiming love into the world. So that was Peter 2,000 years ago, but the good news for us this morning is that the great convergence of Pentecost is still happening, and it always has since that first Pentecost. You see, we too still have access to all of the things Peter had access to. We know Jesus, or at least we have the opportunity to. We too have all been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, whether we invite the Spirit in or not. We too, in this Sherlock Congregational Church, we have a deep and deepening community. And if this is your church, I hope that that is true for you. And if this isn't your church and you are visiting or from another place, I'm assuming that most of us, most of the time, have access to a deep community, those to stand up with. And all of us too have the free will to say yes to God's call in our life. So we too have all the things that we need in our lives to be the church that the world is so desperately in need of. So this morning, we have heard the Pentecost story. We've heard the hard and challenging news that we're often like the old Peter. We've heard the good news that we have everything we need to be the new Peter. And I just want to end by celebrating this congregation for the ways that you, in so many ways, are standing up with the 11 for the sake of love. It's quite a list, so fasten your seatbelts. Our paint team, the last few weeks, they have been helping lead us through a process of choosing wall color and trim color for this sanctuary. It is, make no mistake about it, it is courageous and standing up with the 11 kind of work. But it's not just about paint color. It's about creating a safe, inspiring, beautiful sanctuary so that we can come and break open the word and do all the things that we do and be inspired so that when we leave this place, we can go out and be the new Peter. Last Sunday, our CE team and our Sunday school, they stood up together and proclaimed love loudly and joyfully with all of us through prayer and through communion and by breaking open the word. Our Renew and Rejoice team this last year and a half has been standing up with all of us, helping all of us to ask big questions and to listen deeply to God and to one another and the wider community that we might know more deeply how to live out our mission statement in this time and place. And make no mistake, that is standing up with the 11 kind of work. Our trustees and our facilities people, you know, this is kind of quiet. Not everyone's aware of this, but I see it all the time that our trustees and facilities folks, they invite community groups in here to use this space all throughout the week. And some of those groups pay nothing, and some of those groups pay just a little bit according to their means, but people are invited in as much as possible to use this sacred space for their own growth. And in this quiet way, we're standing up with the 11 and proclaiming our love to those who come here. We have been standing up with the 11 in this congregation for about 6 weeks now in the wake of Susan's courageous preaching and news articles, right? We come together in the wake of hate mail and nasty vitriolic Facebook posts, handwritten nastiness and phone calls. We've stood up with the 11 and come together and said, this is who we are. We proclaim the gospel love as we understand it. And we're stronger and closer because of that. Our social justice ministry has been standing up with the 11 to build a partnership with the library and the Rokeby Museum to bring Standing Up with the 11 kind of art through John Vincent and a Revolutionary Press, which is in our vestry and all around town as well. Our missions team stands up with the 11 in like a million different ways. But one thing in particular I'm thinking about now is a benefit concert they're putting together with Jane Kittredge and her group Playing for Good. It will be right out there on a beautiful day just like this, July 14th. It'll be a benefit concert for Malaika House and our ongoing partnership with that group in Uganda. Our choir has been standing up together, right, Wednesdays and Thursdays and Sunday mornings and singing God's love into our ears. And this person and that person and this team and that group and you, in so many ways, are standing up with the 11, proclaiming love, being the church in a way that's impacting and transforming so many lives. So on this Pentecost Sunday, what do you think? What do you say? Shall we continue to stand up together and proclaim Christ's love and be the church in the world? Shall we do that again this season of Pentecost and beyond? That's a question, but I think the answer is a great and grand yes. Amen.